Hello, welcome to Universal Soul Love. This is Detective David Love. Welcome to the show. Unfortunately, we don't have Lana Love with us this afternoon. She is, or this evening, I should say, in America. She's working in Queensland for the next few weeks, but I'm very happy to have my special co-host who's been on the show in the past, Jill Jenkins, a good friend of mine. Welcome to the show again, Jill.
Hi, everybody. I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for coming on at the last minute again.
Not a problem. I always enjoy our discussions, David, so we always have the greatest talks.
Oh, we always do. We have a lot of them. We have a lot of interesting chats about spirituality and philosophy and global issues, and it's great to have you on the show to share with me. And we have, so you're in Florida, and it's about 9 o'clock where you are?
I'm sorry?
It's about 9 o'clock in Florida, is that right?
That's right, yeah, 9 o'clock. And cold,
all right,
finally.
Well, okay. Wow, well, we've got an exciting guest today. We have author and channeler Courtney Amundson on our show. Welcome to the show, Courtney.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. We're excited to have you. It was great to get you last week like that. When I got your publicist's email, it was... was really excited when I read it about your book, Teachings from God, and what you have to say. So I'm very honored to have you here on the show on Universal Soul Love to share with us and Jill.
Yeah, me too. I was really excited when David asked me. I looked at your blog real quick, and I would just love the messages you had to share. So I'm happy to be a part of this and happy to hear kind of more about you and more about your messages.
Thank you so
much.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm excited.
Jill will tell you that we have a big soul family or a soul tribe. We're all one, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah. And, yeah, everything I was reading is so in line with everything we talk about. It was just like it made perfect sense, and the timing all worked out. So I'm just really looking forward to doing this show.
Yeah, it always is. It always works out. It's just divine
it does,
timing.
Always.
You know, always on the universe was time, so we just have to be agile and flexible and just try to go with the flow as much as we can. So, Courtney, could you just tell us a little bit about your experience and what led you to write about teachings from God? And I guess you have some experience in yoga, which Jill can relate to, I think. Is that right?
Yeah, yoga and Qigong and lots of practices like that, which have helped me to develop my whole self and to open up to basically how this entire work came to me. So... I've been involved and very interested in spirituality for a long time, I would say. It started to really become a big part of my awareness around 9 years old. And I was introduced to Abraham Hicks, and I was introduced to The Secret and The Law of Attraction and Neil Donald Walsh's story. I watched Conversations with God for the first time, and I remember thinking, wow, this just incredible story. It really struck me, and I thought, wouldn't that be cool to have that gift? And so it's just ironic looking back at that now, because it's where I am, and that's my work now. So it was actually March 12, 2012. I remember the date exactly when this opened up for me. I was 16 years old at the time. I'm 19 now. And I was taking a meditation break during my school day. I was doing online school throughout my 4 years in high school. And I had this incredible experience happen to me during my meditation, and something that was unlike any other experience I had during meditation. And I felt this angelic presence come through my body, and it wanted to speak and it wanted to express itself. And I felt this amazing energy trickle throughout my body. It was like golden liquid light is the best way that I can describe it. And as it came through my fingertips, I intuitively went over to the computer because my fingers started to move like they wanted to write. And that's when the messages started to come through. And it struck me aback completely. I was amazed by what was coming through because it was beyond my knowledge, completely beyond my knowledge. And so I would share it with my family every night. after they'd get back from work, I would share these pages and pages of stuff that I had gotten during the day when they were all gone. And they were amazed. And I mean, I was amazed too. I was having these experiences for the first time and realizing so much expansiveness about humanity that I had never learned in school and never learned from my friends. And it was just such a personal, loving kind of relationship that I started bonding with my divine nature, and it's strengthened ever since. And it's just become a very amazing journey.
Wow. This sounds a lot like maybe a spiritual awakening or a psychic awakening. Is that what it sounds like to you, Jill?
Yeah, I relate so much to it, and kind of similarly, when I first began yoga in a group meditation, and it's funny, I was just talking about this, and it's before I understood and knew about all of these things, I had this strong vision of a lotus flower in front of me, and then it blossomed into like 1,000 petals, and then it went out like paper dolls, and then each person in the circle had a petal over them, and I didn't even know it was a lotus flower at the time. So then, you know, like months later, you find out about the lotus flower and the symbolism in meditation, and it kind of just really throws you back, because it's like she said, it's something that you didn't know, but then you know, you know, all of a sudden, it's a huge download, and it is that connection. And it's,
yeah,
I love
amazing.
Her story. It's such a beautiful, you illustrated it so so beautifully. And it seems so quick that it happened. You know, I'm 40, so for me to see someone who's 19 experiencing this more, you know, earlier on is so encouraging. I love the fact that it's, you know, that younger people are reaching this point, you know, earlier than I did, and maybe David too, our generation did, you know.
It didn't hit me until I was 40, and I had a similar experience. I guess that's why I invited Courtney on, because I thought, oh, you know, you and I have talked about this so much, Jill, our own experiences with meditation, yoga, and the awakening and process, that I said, oh, this will be really interesting, you know, that Courtney's done this and been
Absolutely.
Through this, and she's going through this journey at her age. It's really interesting that so many people are now having this experience, this awakening, and the producers on our network, our honored producers, Doug and Dawn, have had these experiences as well and come on the show and talked about them. So it's a, yeah.
And then secondly, I have a 12-year-old son who's also very bright, and I get to, you know, we share, and I said, you know, I was fortunate to grow up in a very nurturing environment that was, you know, allowed me to kind of dive into my openness and always kind of not forget certain things. Mm-hmm. And my son too, you know, he's got this really nurturing environment, so it's, you know, Courtney's sort of in between, and it's really kind of a beautiful thing to witness, to see that stage, that journey of that group as well. So thank you for sharing.
How did that make you feel, Courtney, in school with your friends and in your social life? How did that, I mean, that must have been, was that, did you find it really difficult, or was it just, I mean, it was life transform, it was transformational.
Yeah. But. Yeah, you know, I think a lot of the reasons, and before I get into this, actually, I want to make a comment about what you two were just talking about. And you know, I get the response a lot that, like, oh, you're so young, you know, how did this come about, you know? And some people are even a little bit jealous about it. And sure. when people come to me like that, I go, I understand. And also, I don't want to accept that, because there's so much magnificence and so much wisdom within each and every one of us. And it's not a sign that you haven't done well if you're 40 and you're finally finding yourself. It means everyone has their own unique path, and it's
Absolutely.
The perfect
time.
Yeah,
it's not a race, you know.
Exactly. So I just wanted to throw that out there, because I think it's
But
important.
Yeah, from the perspective of someone who's 40, I have great admiration for somebody who's doing it younger. It truly
yes.
is a compliment. Mm-hmm.
So in regards to school, I definitely always felt a little bit out of place, and I did well in school. I got good grades, but it was also a struggle for me to get there, and I worked very hard to get there. And, you know, my learning style was different, and I had quote unquote friends, but it was so superficial. I could see through it all. And And, you know, that was kind of my experience of the school, you know, this just being in school, a physical school building is, you know, I'd walk down the halls and I'd feel everybody's stuff and it would get me down. And I was always a lot more stressed out than other kids with getting schoolwork done. And so I just felt like I couldn't relate. And when I would talk about meditation, and I think most of the times I didn't because I didn't even want to hear their reactions, but it was always just a, you know, oh, cool, and then get on to the next subject, you know, just no interest at all. So I felt very isolated.
I can pause you there really quick. That isolation, though, and what it does and what I've been realizing, it causes us to mute ourselves and we turn ourselves down. And that's, mm-hmm. like, really the opposite of what we should be doing. But it's so hard when you're, like, you feel like a stranger in a strange land all the time, which, you know, I completely relate to that feeling as well. But then looking back, it's like, wow, I wish I hadn't, like, dulled my shine so much. I wish I had been a little more, you know, less muted. And so.
And it teaches you, too. It teaches you going forward how to be more yourself and how to show up more when you're talking to other people. And, you know, that experience taught me a lot. And so I don't regret it. But I definitely carry myself a lot differently around people. And
yes,
I'm able to, you know, I'm able to tell my story without apologizing or without saying, you know what I mean? You know, there's no, I don't need any people to understand necessarily. I just
you're planted
enjoy
firmly in your truth.
And this is the journey about self-realization. This is the journey about finding yourself. That's what life is all about. It's about discovering who we really are. And I know Jill and I talk about this quite a bit, and Lana and I as well, and lots of other people in the spiritual community. We are here for to find the true self, the authentic self, the genuine self, maybe even perhaps the no self eventually when we reach that point. It's a very exciting journey. Life is short. Life is difficult at times. It's exciting. It's a lot of everything, and we're here to experience all of it. I've certainly had the experiences, some of the experiences that you've had, Courtney. I have what I call a higher power. I get messages. I get inspired writing. Jill does as well. I mean, I have my guides. I've identified some of them. Everybody has different opinions on what their sources are and what the names are and what their beliefs mm-hmm. are about all of this. But I just try to respect them all. Jill has hers. And I think we all have there's an underlying truth, and I think we all have a very similar understanding about life and about the universe and the spiritual realm. So,
absolutely.
I always have a good feeling when I talk to people that I connect with, and things are good, I think, despite what's happening in the world.
mm-hmm. And I think it's also like you don't need to understand where all the sources are coming from. You know, And I think it's also a good reminder to say, you know, for me at least, my understanding has been, you know, whether you call it channeling or whether you call it speaking with God or whether you call it just being tapped in and intuitive, whatever word it is for you, personally, I think any creative endeavor is coming from a higher source. I think when you sit down and you take out your paints, it's the same thing when you play music.
Music is medicine. Music is meditation, and art is meditation, and
And dance and yoga, and even in a conscious conversation like this, you know, where our words are perfectly in sync and our thoughts are perfectly in sync, I think we're all tuned into that vibration.
We are, and these words have power, and we've developed a great rapport, and we are in alignment, I think, and this is why this works. And these are difficult radio shows that I try to do, where you're in Minnesota, and I'm in Sydney, and Jill's in Florida, and the network is in Los Angeles, and we're all getting a message out, and I think we do pretty well. You know, we've been doing it, and we're doing well with it, and you're doing well with it, I can see, and, you know, there's a lot of upheaval in the world, a lot of social upheaval, there's lots going on, but you know, we are here to experience personal growth. We're here to learn our life lessons, and we're here to help others. And I think maybe improve the condition of our lives and others and humanity in the world and just leave it a better place, hopefully, and raise the vibration of humanity in ourselves. And at least that's how I feel about it. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, and I think the best thing that we can do is just to follow our own bliss. And there's no mm-hmm. one way to do that. And
right.
I think, you know, something that we get caught up on is that we have to try to change other people to get there. Like,
yes.
Oh, we got to try to stop the negative to raise the vibration. And that just further, you know, puts us in this resistant place. And, you know, what I've been taught is when we're in our highest expression and when we're spreading our own light and doing it, what makes
right.
us happy and, you know, bringing happiness to others through your own expression, because it really does. It kind of is like the ripple effect or the domino effect. You know, when you
very
are
true,
shining
sure.
like that, other people see it as a good example. So I think that's
absolutely.
The best way. Yeah.
Yeah, David
so
knows
that.
I'm going to step
yeah,
in here.
Yeah, you had a saying once. You said
yeah, that's
that
exactly what I'm saying all the time is, you know, if you sit and you're able to, don't worry about what's going on around you. Don't worry so much about the world. Yeah, take it in and know and see. But really work on, if you're able to raise your own frequency and you're able to get yourself in the best place possible, then that's going to raise the frequency of those around you. And if,
yes.
if I do it and you do it and David, everybody does this a little bit, and then those people that we raise up are doing it a little bit, it starts to become quite exponential. And then the entire frequency of the planet raises.
Yes. And I think it's even a lot more dramatic than we think it is. You know, I don't know if this is correct, but someone once said, you know, for every person that becomes enlightened to themselves, their true nature, and are living in that place, that, you know, 10,000 are impacted. Whether that's true or not, I get the point. You know, it's exponential, and it benefits
it
the
is
whole universe and beyond.
Consciousness is exponential. Thoughts are definitely exponential. When you bring two minds together, the power of those two minds coming together, the output is not double, but it is exponential, and it could be a thousandfold. And so what we're doing right now has a...
Right, it's not a case of 2 + 2 = 4. It's 2 + 2 = 1 billion. It's great.
Mm-hmm. My higher power told me everything we know about the universe is probably wrong. And I've seen this in the court system where lawyers could convince a jury with studies and insurmountable evidence that the moon is made of green cheese, and you'll believe that. And so if we were to apply the standard of beyond a reasonable proof on all our values and beliefs, we'd be horrified to find that we can't live up to the standard of beyond a reasonable doubt, because we can't prove anything. And so
it's our desire to prove that trips us up to begin with, because if you truly believe and you have faith in something, you know it. There's no reason to prove something you know, right? So we get caught up in society of like trying to prove something because we really don't feel like we know. But when the knowing comes from your heart, when the knowing comes from your higher knowing, from you know, source, then what is the need to prove, you know? And then the message should be relatively the same. The way we may choose to express it may be different, because we're all different frequencies and we're all separate individuals, but...
And this is true, Jill, and this is why I don't, you know, I go forward as I am, and I don't, you know, just as you do. You know, we live in the moment, we live in the now, and this is where our manifesting power is. So there's no need to... You know, I think when you get to a certain stage in your journey, you realize it's better to almost be empty-minded, you know, and have this non-belief so that you can actually learn and accept new ideas. Otherwise, if you know everything, what can you actually learn? And if you're talking all the time, and I guess I talk a lot,
or at least be prepared to let go of what you know. Exactly.
No.
Like, okay, I know this now, but tomorrow I may know differently.
Sure, and things change. The information
changes. It does
changes
work that
quickly.
Way.
The big thing
yeah,
now
you're...
is the flat earth theory, so... You know.
Yeah, that's one thing that has really humbled me about this whole thing of my own discoveries through the work that I'm doing is, you know, I call myself a student of life. And I think it's important to remember that no matter, you know, what degree you have or how smart you are, and in the case that, you know, I just finished high school a few years ago and I'm not in college, you know, a lot of people could hold it against me that, hey, you don't really have any information about this. But it's, you know, it's this collective knowledge. It's something innate. And mm-hmm. and now I forget where I was going with that.
You were talking,
well,
you were,
yeah, but you're not going to find that in a book. And that's the thing. I mean, you know, it's not something. And somebody may put it in a book and they can express it, and that's their version of it, and that's looking from their eyes. Mm-hmm. But everywhere I look has a little reflection of me in it. Even if the surface is relatively dull, the light that shines in it, everything is still fixed to my angle, you know? Right. So right. I'm only going to be able to express it from where I stand for the most part, other than what I, you know, I can get the information, but to then to put it back out, it goes through the filter of me. So that's where things get altered. And if we become too stuck to them, then that's where we start to bicker and disagree. And even among my own friends, there are times like, you know, we're all pretty, we get these messages and I'm like, well, what are you thinking? You know? And then when we really talk about it, we realize our message is the same, but it's just the way that we're wording it is kind of different at first, you know, but when we really talk about what we're saying, we're really actually saying the same thing. So
that's the unfortunate
thing about language.
Yes. I think we're all saying the same thing, basically, is what I've found. And we've had Dr. John DeMartini on here from The Secret. I've spent some time with Bob Doyle and his partner, Lynn Rose. And, you know, we've had other guests on here that have a lot to say and a lot of experience and a lot of books and great information. But like you said, Courtney, I think we're all students and teachers of life for each other. And everyone has valuable information to share. And it's really all perspectives, and there is a universal intelligence that comes through us if we allow it, and I think that's the best source of information, if I'm not mistaken, for me anyhow. So,
mm-hmm. Definitely.
So, should we take a break?
Yeah, I think it's about that halfway point, and then I figured I've got a good question for the end, and then I'm sure you've got a couple too. So yeah, before we get into the next thing, I'm going to ask.
Okay, well, should we go with John Lennon, Imagination?
That sounds good. And, yeah, imagine.
Back in about 3 or 4 minutes and regroup.
Sounds
perfect.
Good.
Detective David Love. I have special co-host Jill Jenkins with us today. Welcome back, Jill.
Hi, thank you.
And we have our guest, Courtney Munson, with us. Welcome, Courtney.
Hi, David. Thanks for having me.
So we're having a great conversation. You are the author of Teachings from God. And could you give us your website and your contact information?
Yes, my website is www.teachingsfromgod.com.
Okay, do you want to tell us about your book?
Yeah, I'll tell a little bit about it.
How that all came up, and be interested in hearing about that.
Yes, so it started flowing through me at the age of 16, and since that point, I have become very awakened to so much about the human experience and about life after death and what is death, really. It's been so awakening to find that, you know, really we are eternal beings and we've come here for a mission, a specific mission, each and every one of us. And we're part of this whole grand scheme that's so amazing and so divine, and we don't even know, you know, half of it. It's we see the tip of the iceberg, and there's so much under there that we're here to discover about ourselves.
That all sounds very familiar to me. A lot of those words you're using, human experience, grand scheme, and one of the most important spiritual lessons, I think the most vital, was the one about the eternal soul or the immortal soul and life after death, or life after life, as I like to call it, working in hospice and everything. I think until I understood that life is impermanent and everything is impermanent and we are eternal beings, that was just one of the most important concepts I could ever get. Mm-hmm. And then everything else followed with personal responsibility and power of choice and all of those other important philosophies. So yeah, I do. I hear you. I understand everything you're saying. I'm sure Jill does too. We've talked about it quite a bit at length.
Yeah, absolutely.
Go ahead, Jill.
I was just going to say, it just resonates so strongly. I mean, your whole journey, your message, the fact that that you know that you're on a mission. I know that I'm on a mission. And the more people that understand that, I think, you know, that this is happening, as we said earlier, exponentially. And it's just such an exciting time to be alive to witness this.
It is. It feels humbling. It really does to, you know, realize that it wasn't by chance that we came here and that we wanted to be here. We all signed up to be here at this time to see it happen. And I think on the outside, we oftentimes we see a lot of chaos, and though it is hard to see and hard to watch the news, you know, it's also about the bigger plan, and there's such transformation happening, and, you know, there's such awakening happening, even in the midst of, you know, what we see on the outside is chaos. There's so many people that are realizing who they are, and there's so many voices that speak up over that darkness and are helping others in the dark. You know, I call them lighthouses or light workers.
Beacons and, of light.
Beacons. Yeah, David beacons, and I call them beacons.
I love that. Yeah, I love that.
And that Susan came up with, actually. But,
and I think it's just important to look at that and to see that as the focus point, because when we do that, then we see the light, we see the teacher and everyone, and we can, you know, change our focus a little bit. And that's what my book is all about. It's showing people a different perspective, you know, go deeper and see the purpose in your life, go deeper and see the purpose in everything, and use your toolbox. You know, we have this golden toolbox. There's this analogy that you can't build a house with only screwdrivers. And that's what we often do with, you know, as human beings, as we go through life, trying to build our house, or, you know, with one tool, and we have this golden toolbox that's, you know, we've been collecting over ages and ages, because we're limitless, we're eternal beings, and we've collected all of these tools, and yet we don't even use them to discover our own innate wisdom. And there's so much information and history within our bodies, our physical bodies. And that just doesn't, you know, it doesn't relate to your education, or if you are brought up.
I was going to say, they don't teach you that in school.
Right. You know, there's absolutely no explanation for why I would have the information that I do, because I was never taught it. And similarly to so many other people that, you know, have started to express the same thing. And I see it in people older than me. I see it people that are younger than me. So I don't think it has to do with age, as it really has to do with people that are using their tools.
And it has to do with the time that we're alive. It's not necessarily the age you are now. It's just that you are now.
Right.
Yeah. Right?
Your soul's evolution. So, definitely.
You know, where you know, your journey may have happened and coincided with mine, but we're different ages. But that may just be, you know, we're at because we signed up for this time, this is where we are at this point, you know. And so that's why it happens when it does.
So true.
But each and every person, you know, it isn't like these things are limited or exclusive only to certain individuals. I mean, each and every person on Earth right now has the ability to access this, has a mission and has a purpose and has this great value, whether they know it or not.
That's right.
And
so I think
important.
That's an important thing to share.
It's so important. And I'm glad that you said that too, just to reaffirm it, because
right.
A lot of people, when they see what I'm doing and they see what I'm sharing, they say, well, that's great. You know, it's amazing that you have so much wisdom to share, but I cannot do that. And for anyone that knows me personally and knows me very well, what I'm doing right now is the exact opposite of my personality that I was before this
Wow.
You know, I was painfully shy.
Me too. Absolutely 110% public speaking fears. I don't even know how I would even want to do radio, but yet I do it because, and I go and speak at city council at times because that's what my soul wants to do. And I look at myself and I go, what am I doing? You know, this isn't really like my thing, but yet at the same time, I almost can't stop myself, you know?
It's so cool in that way. It's so cool. And, you know, I had my first interview a couple of days ago now, and my mom listened to it, and she started cracking up. She said, I can't believe, like, nobody would know this is you a couple of years ago.
Are you interviewing Courtney? Is this relatively new for you?
Yeah, this is my third one, actually.
Oh, my goodness. You're doing excellent. You are too, Jill. When I first started doing interviews, I was panicking. I remember my first interview many years ago when I was taking on missing children and abducted children. I would spend the whole day writing everything down that I was going to say, and I'd be just anxious the whole day long anticipating.
Oh, I did the same things. But, you know, if you just go with the flow and just, I don't even think now because I know that I'm going to be in that place. And I know that I don't really have the information yet ahead of time anyway. So it's not the right now. And so when I'm in that now, I'll know what to say. And that seems to work.
It's the same thing. You know, that is, to me, tapping into that source the same way that, you know, I received the book. You're doing the same thing. And when you show up and you say, hey, I'm here and I'm ready to surrender into this moment, you get exactly what you need. So it's, you know, I think that's really amazing in itself.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and going back to the age thing, I mean, my perspective is really interesting because I have a son who's 12 and there's times where, you know, the role kind of switches and he teaches me lessons. And I mean, not just simple, like, cute life lessons, like really, really profound spiritual lessons, because, you know, his vision is less tainted. And you know, I look back at when I was a child you know, you mentioned your school experience, Courtney, and for me, my school experience, because my family experience was so open, you know, I kind of had to learn to assimilate in school, and that was kind of like where I kind of like got smaller, you know. But when I was very young, I probably, you know, I was very tapped in as well at that time, you know, looking back, but I didn't know it because that was normal to me at that time. So, you know, and then I kind of went a different way. And then now that I'm kind of realigned with this, I can look back with these eyes and go, oh my gosh, these things actually had a lot of significance in this. You know, it's kind of, I can put it together in a different way, in a beautiful way, with the new perspective. But
there's always a new perspective. I've become.
But yeah, age is so, you know, age is so indeterminate to me anyway, because of the fact that it's where you are. It's and age can have a lot to do with your wisdom, but it can also not. You know, I've met a lot of wise children and a lot of naive, you know, older people. So it doesn't. It's not a necessary correlation.
Experience, right. You know, your breadth of knowledge and length of experience or accumulated experiences has nothing to do with your maturity or your actual, you know, insight or
and
anything.
Then you go into the fact that we're infinite energy, and you know, it's just you may just have an ability to tap into that. That's it, you know. And I, you know, that we're really all kind of very old. If you really want to go down
old,
to it,
I guess we're all old souls in this soul tribe.
We're all dinosaurs.
Yeah. Very, very interesting to meet everyone. My experience, if I can just say real quick, I've told Jill this, and I've probably said this on the radio a few times, is when I had my awakening, and we're all going through a great awakening right now in the world, but my thing was with the goddess energy or the goddess consciousness or the divine feminine essence or whatever. And when it first started happening, every woman I was meeting was the same woman. It was the same spirit, the same consciousness. Everyone was this goddess. Jill, you were when I ran into you, and I still, even talking to you, Courtney, I still see this feminine energy or this feminine intelligence that's in all women speaking to me. It's interesting, although my mind's a lot more solidified now in my body, and you know, that part of the awakening is sort of over. I'm really in my body now. I'm really experiencing life fully. But it's still, you know, you're that aspects of that goddess I still see in women, and men too as well. So.
Yeah, definitely. There's sort of like, I guess, archetypal energy or celestial sort of energy, or, you know, there's a certain frequency that it is there. And the fact that you notice the consistency, that's sort of a synchronicity. It's sort of that was trying to wake you up to something. And then you said that part of my awakening is over. So clearly, you know, you got the lesson in that. Which is cool, you know, and then other things will happen, and you're going to meet other types of, you know, reoccurring patterns and energies, and it's really wonderful to take note of that. And I think, too, to run it by your heart center, to me, is something I find to be a very good litmus. If sometimes I meet somebody, and it's like, it throws me back, but if I have this really strong feeling in my heart, you know, that's that familiarity, that's that, like, hey, this is probably like a soul family or something, you know, this is a right place, right time thing. But learning to use that heart center as a litmus test of and trusting it, I think, is very important for me.
Could you give us your website and your contact information?
Yeah, you can. You can go to my website at teachingsfromgod.com, and on there I have all of my social media sites. I do YouTube. I'm on pretty much everything, and I love to connect with people there. And I'm also, so you can find my book there, but I'm also going to be starting up a online book club in February. So for anyone that's interested in learning more about it, if you become a subscriber on my website, I'm going to be starting that in February. And it's basically a little place for us to discuss the book and to work through it and just build a community. So it's going to be a really amazing group. And I also, in the meantime, I also am doing a weekly meditation series also for subscribers. So That's been a really cool thing to share as well, just to share weekly meditations / any divine messages I get specifically for the energy of that week. So it's fun.
Yeah, no, it sounds like you're doing a lot. Wow, I'm really impressed with everything you've been doing and how far you've come in such a short time. I mean, that's amazing. It sounds like you've had a lot of influences. You said Esther Hicks and The Secret and a lot of life coaches.
Yeah, you know, I've been inspired by a lot of teachers, and I've made it a priority for me to surround myself by, you know, with people that inspire me, and to remember that, you know, I can be a teacher, and I can also be a listener and a student. And it's important to have that balance. So, yes, Esther Hicks has, you know, and the work of Abraham has been very influential to me. And The Secret and learning about all of that stuff. And also through my learnings with Qigong, I have been studying with a master here in Minnesota since I was 9, and learning about meditation and Qigong through him, and that's been a huge factor in my own awakening too, and just learning my own power as a healer, and we're born as healers.
Right.
That's actually the title of his book, is it's called Born a Healer, and just that really helped me to realize like the empowerment within myself and not have that victimhood and that smallness of I'm human.
Yes.
Woe is me, you know, it's God
small.
Is big, I am small, you know, that never resonated.
I think that's key right there, the end of victimhood. I think that would be a great way to end the show, if we could like just encourage everybody to just look at that a little bit, because I mean, we all still probably catch ourselves, you know, like, wait a minute, I'm okay. Like, sometimes I just sit there and I remind myself, like, I have everything I need. I'm not in danger of anything, and I'm not at risk of anything. And it just, sometimes we just need that, because in our society, we're kind of taught to think that there's a threat at every turn, and so we feel like perpetual victims. And it's a trap. It's a trap, you know?
Well, yes, it's that victim mentality and playing the victim role is a trap. And you know, once you, I think we've talked about, once you become awakened, you can't really play the victim role anymore, because the truth is you have the responsibility. Even if there's a dictator bombing you, your responsibility is to do something about it. And that's, I know that's easy to say, and it's a, I have a lot of empathy for people who are in all kinds of terrible situations, and I would certainly hate to be in those situations, and I'm not minimizing anyone's trauma or anything. But I'm sure you know what I'm saying, is that...
I do.
And, you know, we do have a responsibility to, for ourselves in every situation.
Well, I think sometimes we think like, oh, there's some other power that set this up, and I'm at the will of the whim of this destiny fate thing. And no, it doesn't really work that way. You know, you had a big part of the way this works in setting it up, and you're also in charge of the decisions you make. So if you want it to be different, make it different, you know. And yeah, there are, of course, situations that are horrible, but, you know, some life lessons on an earth plane level are painful, but then still very, very enriching to adding to the soul level. So, you know, it's kind of difficult to correlate the way those things work.
It is.
You know, that victimhood also comes from within ourselves, and I think the majority of the time it's not even just victimhood from the outside and interacting with other people. It's victimhood within the self and just having no true identity, and that really does reflect to any other outer circumstance.
Or and, at the very least, the inner dialogue of victimhood. You know,
exactly.
It is that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and when that's our collective consciousness, then it makes sense that, you know, all of those things happening outside of us are scary and are foreign and don't make sense. And that's why we come up with, you know, a God that's outside of us, because we don't understand the correlation and we feel separate. And, you know, that's the biggest part of my work. That's the biggest part, is that we're not separated from that creative source. And it's finding that again. And that's why the title is Revealing the Divine Within. Not finding, not grasping. It's revealing it, because it's already there.
Right.
For everybody.
God within us experiencing life as human, I guess you could say, and sort of collecting that information and adding, contributing to the expansion of... collective consciousness.
But at the same time, we're all kind of unique and in special frequencies, but yet we're all part of the same beautiful song, you know. So it's both.
It's the separate but the separate but equal theory of consciousness. We are unique personalities, but we are all one consciousness, like drops of water that go into the ocean.
I actually have a really cool analogy about that I was given, and it was, and what I love too about the book is it gives these really difficult concepts in a really humorous and just lighthearted way, so it never feels like a big task, you know, to dive into it.
Always a little bit funny, isn't it?
it just helps. So they talk about this, you know, oneness as a big pot of soup, and it's really beautiful how they explain it. So there's this big pot of soup, and within that pot of soup, there's many different flavors and textures and, you know, grains of salt and pepper and all of these things. But we would never go in that pot of soup and count the molecules of water in there. It's just, you know, it's just soup, one collective thing. But the beautiful part is we can pick out all the different flavors within that soup. And that's similar to human beings and to, you know, all these different energies within the universe, is that we make up the same source. And we each have different missions, but in the end, we're all serving that one. We're all serving this one mission. So it's amazing how that connects.
That's wonderful.
I just want to say one thing, though. I talked a lot about service, and I know my higher power once said service is, to be of service to others is the highest honor or something to that effect. But what I believe is we talk a lot about service to self and service to others, and service to self is a horrible thing. But I believe that the gods are here, or the whatever, the higher powers, whatever, or the guides are here to support me in my mission. I'm not here to serve, because I we give a lot of meaning to words. And I know the three of us, or whoever's listening, would probably understand that, what service really means to us. But it kind of can have a negative connotation. And so it makes it feel like it can have the connotation that we're almost slaves to the gods or slaves to humanity. Mm-hmm. And that's simply not true. We are doing it out of joy.
Exactly. It's free will. It's free will. Yeah. And another thing that kind of brings me to this thought about that is, you know, there's so many conditionings that we have as humans, and to be of service, as you said, often has a negative connotation. And, you know, what Spirit has been telling me is, you know, if you believe that self-love is wrong, then we would say to be selfish is the goal.
Good point.
Because
I love it. Yes.
and it's so beautiful, terrible, because it takes the pressure off, though, doesn't it? Because then we realize that's not a bad thing. As we serve ourselves, we serve the world, we serve everything else, and that's not bad. That's
and
good.
If I'm vibrating as high a frequency as I can, and Courtney's vibrating as high a frequency as she can, and David's doing the same thing, that's where we start to really exact change in the world.
It's power in the right direction. It's the kind of power that that fuels other people and fuels the universe. It's not the kind of power that you use to manipulate with. And so we shouldn't be afraid of that kind of power.
I just have to interrupt you. We are out of time. Sorry. Thank you for being on our show, Courtney. I have to stop now, but I do appreciate you being on our show, and Jill. And
thank you so much. It was an honor. Love you guys. This was a great show.
Thank you. It was fun.
Okay. And we'll see you next time on Universal Soul Love. Thank you, everyone.